Hello and welcome to Passionate About People, the podcast for what can only be described as getting used to the new normal. I'm Phil Dave and I'm a broadcaster who works in, amongst other things, mental health and well-being. And also joined by James Rose. James, do introduce yourself.
Yeah, hello. My name is James Rose. My business is CX People, which is all about communicating with excellence. And we focus on supporting businesses, primarily focusing on the people to perform to the best of their ability and get the most out of every transaction with every customer.
And we've also got with us Graham Godfrey. Graham, please introduce yourself.
Hi there. I'm a coach, a life and business coach, mindset coach, I suppose you could call me. My specialty, I suppose, is coaching CEOs, owner-managed businesses, and I tend to specialize in the media, film, TV, and sport industries.
Okay, well, the idea behind this episode is we're going to focus very much on getting you and basically your business through COVID-19, which is a massive subject, which I fear we might not be able to fully cover in 20 minutes, but we'll give it a shot, gents. We'll see what happens. Who wants to start us off with the concept, I suppose, of business management? That's probably where we will start with this.
I think I can cover quite a lot of that. I spend my time talking to a lot of business owners in all sorts of areas. Yesterday, I was chatting to a good friend of mine who has a large chain of hairdressers who is really worried about how they're going to bring their staff back to work in a safe environment. And they've really had to think very closely with their partners about their business and the environment in which their clients are going to come. Because if you think about a hairdresser, there's so much contact in those areas that they're not quite sure how to fulfill their obligations to their clients. They've had to start by thinking about their strategy and in moving forwards. And I think a lot of companies are concerned about what they're going to be doing as we get back to the new normal.
And I know, Graham, you tend to speak to business owners and business leaders. I do to a degree. I do tend to speak more to the people on the front line, if you like. And it's absolutely similar. So in the last probably 2 weeks or so, I've probably spoken to around 100 different people on various training courses that I've been running. And it's very similar. It's, for me, the picture I have is of someone who has been perhaps working at home, perhaps even furloughed, so not working at home as well, and is now faced with the prospect of having to go back into work. And if we take your hairdresser example again, the kind of thoughts that are coming through are, I don't know what's going on in my workplace. I don't know when I turn up on day one, whether there's going to be screens between the chairs, for example, whether there's going to be hand wash when we walk in. Do I have to bring a mask? Are there going to be masks there? Am I going to have to cut more people's hair more quickly because we need to get profits back into the business? Are the customers going to want to come in? What happens if a customer comes in but they're showing signs? What do I do? What are my responsibilities? So there's so much that is unknown around what this new normal is going to be. And many of the people that I speak to, and they are primarily from bigger businesses rather than small, are saying, we're just not being communicated with. You know, we know things are happening and we hear things on the grapevine. And sometimes we get a message from our manager or from, you know, the corporate side of the business to say, here's what we're doing. But actually those nitty gritty day to day, my individual fears aren't necessarily being managed as well as they'd like them to be.
You see, of course, one of the other problems as well that I'm sure a lot of people don't necessarily consider is just how much of a strain individuals such as hairdressers, let's go with that example again, or potentially those who, say, work in hospitality, people who constantly come into contact with total strangers day in, day out, who would be worried for their own personal safety and their well-being. So they've actually got to try and overcome the challenges that come with thinking along those lines and how they deal with their own personal demons, for want of a better term, that they would actually have to come up against just to step through the door of their place of work.
Absolutely right. So today, what we want to focus on is, you know, in the first episode of our podcast, we focused on what some of those challenges are going to be. And in this episode, I think we very much want to focus on just a few key steps that you can take to manage yourself and your business through these times.
A lot of the business owners that I've spoken to have asked for a step process that they can use to analyze their businesses. And I think when this started, the most important area was to cut costs, was to preserve the cash within the business and to take a step back to decide where they're going and what's going to be happening because of the unknown. And I've stressed to a lot of companies that the things that they need to do now is to forecast perhaps over the next 100 days. They need to prepare a strategy and a cash flow forecast to understand what the costs are going to be. There's obviously going to be increased costs with PPE, and there's going to be increased costs in changing the way their employees work within the environment that they're sitting. And I found that a lot of business owners have actually been pretty good at that. It's the first time where they've been able to really take a step back from the business and decide which way they're going to move forward. And I think the government have been pretty strong in the way that they've created this furlough scheme so people can be paid, employers can be paid, and how the company owners can get loans, and they're pretty good, cheap loans to support the business. I think once the business feels a little bit more financially secure, then they can start to look at the effects of what this is going to do and how their business is going to work over the next few months.
But it's really interesting, Graham, the way that you say that you have advised them that they should set up a forecast for the next 100 days. Surely forecasts are generated from predictability. So in other words, if one is able to predict the pattern in which their business unfolds day to day, that would give them a sense of how they can forecast the next 100 days. Well, in such times of uncertainty that I certainly don't remember in my lifetime, and I challenge you two to tell me if you remember anything like this in your lifetimes as well, how on earth is it possible to even come up with those projections?
It's very difficult, but the one thing that they've all got in common, the businesses that are suffering, they have no income. So they've got to establish, based upon the cash reserves that they've got, perhaps the loans that they've taken, how they're going to survive over a 3-month period or 4-month period, and what they're going to have to invest in the business to maintain it over the next 3 to 6 months.
Or possibly indeed what they have to take out of it, which let's not forget means cutting costs where needs be. And ultimately that can lead to job loss.
Correct. But one thing we haven't taken into account is that there are some businesses that are thriving through this. There are some businesses that whose forecast means that they're going to be growing and benefiting almost from what's going on, because people have different needs while they're at home. But businesses need to really know where they're going. It's a very, very difficult thing to do, but it's the foundation. It's the foundation of business. I think the next area that you've got to look at is you've got to start to analyze what's happening within your business and look at what changes are required, and also what new opportunities might be available to you. It's such an interesting time at the moment for business owners, but I think most of them are learning to adapt. And I think the majority don't want to go out of business. The majority want to see if they can work through this and create new opportunities.
Well, I think anyone in business always has, especially if it's their own business, has that driving force behind them to say that, look, this is the amount of work I've put into something for X number of years. And no matter what happens, I don't want to lose it. Losing it has ultimately got to be the last resort. And I suppose that, James, there's also that mentality behind your passion for what you do. That's got to play a part to some degree, hasn't it, in terms of wanting and the willingness to adapt to whatever life throws at you.
I absolutely agree with you. Whether you're the shareholder, the business owner, but also whether you're a staff member, new or old, I think you will more than likely have a degree of loyalty towards the business that you're working for and with. And that loyalty extends not just to the business and seeing it successful, but also that loyalty extends to your colleagues who perhaps you haven't seen much of recently and also want to be able to support once you are back into some degree of going back into the office or new normality. So this is where considering the business's future is so important. You know, if you are nervous about going back to work, it's, you know, how are you communicating with each other and building the team together? So, you know, senior managers, business owners, as Graham says, are probably going to be very focused, or should certainly be very focused, on the financial planning, whether that's cutting costs or investing, analyzing what's required, and also being very mindful of bringing staff into those conversations. No, certainly from my experience of when I've worked in business, I used to work for Capita, for example. The best manager I ever had was the one who, as much as he was able to, included myself and his other team members in what was going on with the business. So what conversations were happening at a senior level, what decisions were being taken, what that was likely to result in, and what effect that might have on me. Then subsequently, what I could do to support those plans and that strategy to move forward. So putting myself in the shoes of a business, or I am a business owner, but putting myself in the shoes of a business owner going through this process right now, I'm heads down focused on what can I do to plan and strategize over the next 100 days to take my business forward and to ensure its success thereafter. As Graham says, all that financial side, and also communicating all that to my team members to make sure that they know what's happening and can be a valued contributor to that conversation.
And do you have to trust in yourself of knowing when too much information is too much information? In other words, you were saying about a manager who you had who was really transparent with you and was very open and honest about what was happening in the business. But there surely there has to be a cutoff point where actually there are some things that employees don't need to know. Do you have to go with gut instinct on that? Or do you think utter transparency is the way forward?
I think that is very much a call on an individual basis. Certainly in my experience, and going back to my manager, his name was Stuart, he would say in our team meetings, this is as much as I'm able to tell you right now, and I will impart further information as and when I get it, as when I'm able to, because there's likely to be some things that are confidential or inappropriate to share. That's fine. And I think any staff member should and would appreciate that. One of the key aspects to excellent performance management is ongoing communication. The best leaders in the world will communicate effectively with their teams. It doesn't mean full disclosure. That might actually be detrimental to performance managing because staff get too worried because they have no control over what they're being told. And without that control comes that fear and anxiety. So including people as much as is appropriate and is possible. What I mean by that is it's in direct contrast to not communicating. So yes, it might be a sliding scale. It's not communicate everything. It's not communicate nothing. It's finding that middle ground, whether that's gut instinct, whether that's through effective planning of what should be communicated. But communicating effectively, and whatever effectively means for your business, is one of the key things you can do. Extend that also out to your, whoever it might be, your investors, your shareholders, your suppliers. Again, thinking about suppliers, I've got two clients who are suppliers to other businesses. One supplier is saying that they have one major customer they supply to. Most of their eggs are in that one basket. But they were saying, fortunately, the company they supply to is being very open with what's going on in that business, allowing our supplier to plan what they need to produce and pass on in order to support the people they supply to. The other supplier I work with is saying they've got no idea what's going on with the main thrust of their customers. They've got no idea what those customers are doing, what their plans are, and therefore how can the supplier plan effectively what their workload needs to be and what their future planning needs to be. So as that business, the more you can communicate with your suppliers and investors and shareholders, whoever it might be, and keep them informed, the better.
And you see, Graham, it's interesting because for me, I've actually thought sort of when I have customers myself on any of the work that I do, whether it be through the radio work, which is by and large where I make my living, or of course there is an alternative side, which is I'm actually a computer technician as well. That's probably where the proper income comes from. But anyway, let's not get into that. The point is that whenever I have clients who come to me, one thing I always say is that I am incredibly transparent. How important is it to be transparent to your customers, to your clients, and to keep them in the loop of what is going on and what actually may happen to your business?
It's vitally important, depending on what type of business you're in and how you would communicate with your clients. James, in the training that he does with a lot of the companies, part of his strategy is to help the people within the business communicate with their customers and communicate as effectively as possible. Some of my clients, I've got a couple of clients that are financial advisors who have been in communication with their clients continuously because they've got money invested in the market and they need to understand why the value of their investments are going up and down, but more so the security of their investments. And I would say that because those clients have been looked after so well, they didn't seem particularly worried. I think in lots of other businesses, you need to continually talk to your customers, send mails to your customers so they know where they are. A good example of that actually is that we've got Virgin Wi-Fi here. And since the COVID scenario has been going on, the Wi-Fi has been extremely poor. We've had no communication. It's been quite difficult. I know there's probably millions of people are going through the same things, but you do consider, you know, what are they doing for us? You know, we're in a difficult scenario. Are we being looked after? And sometimes you don't feel that you are. And if you're not being looked after, you need to make that known. Very, very important for businesses.
I suppose the worry is as well, though, that when your business gets to a certain size and you have a certain number of customers in your database, in your bank of clientele, the problem is that there's only so many people you can employ to maintain that personal service. So when you use the Virgin Media as an example, they obviously have hundreds of thousands of customers across the country, and there's only so much that they can do to maintain that personal relationship with their clients. So even though I'm quite sure that if there are any known issues, they would send you a message en masse, it probably doesn't necessarily make you feel like you're being that looked after. Can we spend a little bit of time, though, talking about the actual team within the business, though? Because how important is it to remember, if you do have to let someone go before you make any hasty decisions, how important is it to remember, let's say, the reason why you took that individual on in the first place?
There's a saying, hiring is hoping and firing is knowing. So you never really know how good people are. I've had some really positive experiences over this period where the people that I'm coaching and the owners that I'm talking to, some of the members of staff who they've looked at as quite talented have really stepped up, have really been a massive influence to their other team members. And I think that although it's a worrying situation, the mindset of some of the individuals within the teams that I've been working with have been incredible. Where perhaps certain employees haven't performed particularly well, I think it's down to perhaps their own personal circumstances, but it's also down to, as James was discussing earlier, the communication from the top. I think that if there are employees that perhaps aren't stepping up to the mark, you've got to consider your business, but you need to consider their welfare and perhaps what could happen in the event that they were no longer with the business.
Well, I think what you're talking about there, Graham, is a little bit of skill versus will. And I think particularly now, it really does, people working from home, people having to pull their weight, a spotlight being shined perhaps on people's performance, I think is really interesting. So I was talking to a friend 2 days ago. He owns a property business. He has 12 employees. What he was saying in his experience over these past couple of months or so is it's really helped him identify, as you've said, Graham, who is a really strong worker and who is less so. Now, typically, they assess the quality of performance against tangible targets based on sales. But right now, it's also about who's pulling their weight, who's being a positive influence on the team and the business and other measures. And they're not set up for that. They don't measure against those less tangible outcomes. So as you're saying, right now, have staff got the skills and ability to work from home? Are they competent in what they're doing? Will they have those same skills and ability in whatever new world you're creating with your business? And if not, how do you ensure that you bring them up to those standards? So training courses of the like that we run around soft skills, but also the hard skills of perhaps IT, perhaps team working, perhaps managers motivating staff, etc., emotional intelligence, all those sorts of things. How pertinent are those for your business? But the other side of that coin is the whole, if it's skill versus will, is do people have the will? Do they have the right attitude? Do they have the desire to actually want to come back to work, to want to work in the environment and want to work with the people around them? Or are other perhaps emotional anxieties getting in the way of their ability to focus like they used to? So as a business owner, business leader, checking in on those things really important, analyzing based on objective setting, and then checking in to see are those objectives being met, and if not, why not? And having a very open and frank conversation, again, it comes back to communication, a very frank and open conversation with individuals around how are you performing against various measures. If you're performing really well, fantastic. What are you doing to achieve those results so they can be mirrored by yourself moving forward, but also perhaps even by others? They can be mirrored by others as well. You know, you can be seen as a beacon, as some people to follow. but then also if people aren't performing so well, yes, it might be a case of hire or fire. Actually, also, it might be a case of why aren't you performing well and what can we do to support you? Is it an emotional thing? Is it an anxiety thing? Is it a simple worry? Is it something going on in your home life that's affecting you at work? Financial issues, maybe health issues. What can we as the business do to support you through that? And those are questions that might not have had to have been asked in the past or might have been able to brush under the carpet. But right now, these are really important things to be mindful of and to be acting on to gain that best success. Coming back to your point, Graham, from what we talked about first thing on the podcast, coming back to that next 100 days, you're focusing on your finances and your business forecasting for the future. And let's look at the staff as well and make sure they can come on this journey. You know, if they're at the oars of this ship, are they pulling strongly enough on those oars to take you forward into that successful future?
Really is a bit of a minefield at the moment, I think is the best way to summarise it. Gents, sadly, we seem to be out of time for this particular episode, but I suggest that if anyone wants any more information, then perhaps you'd be so kind as to tell them where they can find you respectively. Graham, where do people go for you for more information?
They visit my website, which is passionateaboutbusiness.co.uk, or alternatively, they email me, which is just the same address, gg@passionateaboutbusiness.co.uk.
And James, how about you?
Website is cxpeople.co.uk, charliexraypeople.co.uk. And my email is james@cxpeople.co.uk.
And if for whatever reason you wish to contact me, the best way is through social media at Mr. Phil Dave, and it's Phil with one L. Gents, thank you both very much indeed. Thank you as well to you for listening to this particular podcast. Don't forget that if you would like to subscribe to the Passionate About People podcast, you can be informed of when future episodes are available. But from me, Phil Dave, from Graham Godfrey, and from James Rose, hopefully you'll join us next time. Goodbye.